It's good to see you out this morning. I hope you've had a good week this past week studying about the hope that we have and studying about putting God in a special place, sanctifying Him in our hearts. And to some degree, what we're studying this week goes hand in hand with that. If we sanctify God in our hearts, then our lives are going to be changed. And one of the things that's going to happen in our lives is that, unlike many in the world, we are going to start to desire to do God's will more and more. And we're going to want to avoid temptation and sin and those things of the world more and more. And so that's going to be a challenge to us. We want to talk this morning together and study together about resist the devil. Resisting the devil. It's interesting that God puts it that way. When we think about the fact that the devil, Satan, is a creature, a being, that is more powerful than we are, that has abilities that we don't have. He's, in some ways, people would say he's a supernatural being. He's certainly not equal to God, and we certainly never want to be confused about that and put him on an evil plane with God. But we do have to realize that he is greater than us. He's above us in his abilities, in his power, in his knowledge, and in many other areas. And so it's interesting that God tells us to resist him. We might think that, well, we should run away from him. We should run and hide. And it is true that the Bible does talk to us about fleeing certain sins. Paul tells us to flee fornication, and Joseph certainly was a good example of that. And with the situation with Potiphar's wife, he ran from that situation. But in this case, and we want to focus in on today, the idea that we can't just keep running and hiding from Satan. You know the old saying, you can run, but you can't hide? You see, there's no place on earth that we can hide from Satan and his influence. And since we can't hide from him, and we don't want to give in to him, there's only one choice left. We've got to fight him. We've got to resist him. It's interesting, God uses this term resist, and I think about the resistance. I think about times like in World War II when Adolf Hitler had captured, for the most part, France. He had toppled their government, certainly. And yet there were still those in France who were fighting against him. They were part of the underground resistance movement. And in so many places where there's an autocratic dictator ruling, there is an underground resistance movement. And you know, in this old world, the Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of this earth. He's the prince of this world. He has control of the greater part of this earth. And so as Christians, we're always going to be in the minority. We're always going to be the fewer, and Satan's forces are going to be the more numerous. And so we're going to have to constantly be fighting a resistance against Satan. James chapter 4 and verses 4 through 10, God says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. There's enough in there for 2 months worth of sermons. But we'll just hit a little bit of it this morning. Notice what he says there in verse 7. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And that next phrase is an amazing one. And he, that's the devil, will flee from you. Now we just established earlier that Satan, he was an angel of God, and man is created a little lower than the angels, so as an angel, Satan was above us. He had greater powers. We talked about that already. And yet, God says, if we will resist him, he'll run away. He'll flee. Wouldn't that be a sight? To see, for example, a deer chasing the lion, maybe a gazelle chasing the lion instead of the lion chasing the gazelle, the zebra chasing down the cheetah instead of the cheetah chasing the zebra. Wouldn't that be a sight to see? Well, see, when we resist Satan, we can run him off. Satan's a lot of things. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's deceitful. He's wicked in so many ways, and all of these things. But above all, Satan is a bully. And bullies, by their nature, are cowards. When they're confronted, they back down. That's how you know the difference in a bully and someone of conviction. Someone who really means it doesn't back down when they're confronted. They're people of their word. They go on ahead with what they said they do. But a bully is all talk. All a facade and nothing behind. A hollow man, so to speak. And that's the way the devil is. He is all talk. He makes all sorts of promises. He makes all sorts of threats. He does all these different things. But when it comes right down to it, he's a coward. And if we'll stand up to him, if we'll resist him, he'll run away. Now that doesn't mean he won't ever come back. He will. Because he's sneaky and he's a determined bully. And he thinks maybe it was just a fluke that they stood up to me this time. I'm going to try again. And he'll try again. He tried 3 times with Jesus before he ran off. Jesus resisted him those 3 times and he ran off. But Luke tells us not that the devil gave up, but that he departed for a season, for a time. Satan certainly didn't give up. He continued to tempt Jesus off and on throughout Jesus' lifetime on this earth, throughout his ministry. He was tempted here and there by different people, by different events that Satan threw in his way. But the fact of the matter is, we can resist Satan. We talked about this morning. Well, no one's ever been perfect, of course, excepting Jesus, because he was God in the flesh. But you know, we talk about people, we say, well, nobody's perfect. And sometimes we've said that so many times, and we've accepted that so much, that we say, well, nobody's perfect. You can't keep from sinning, so throw up my hands, and I'll just sin sometimes whenever it's convenient. Which it usually is, isn't it? But instead, we need to get this idea in our head. No, I've never been perfect. I'm not perfect. I've made lots of mistakes. And I'm sure there probably will be times in the future that I will sin. But I don't want to do it today. I'm going to resist Satan today. I'm going to resist the devil right now. I'm going to fight to keep from sinning. We don't want to be casualties in the war between God and Satan. And if we give up and just say, well, can't be perfect, so why even try? Then Satan's won. Oscar Wilde said, I can resist everything except temptation. And sometimes that's the way we live our lives. Boy, we can refuse any and everything until we're tempted to do something, and then we get, can't help myself. What was the old accusation? The devil made me do it. Is that what Flip Wilson always used to say? The devil made me do it. Now, we talked about the fact that the devil is more powerful than us as human beings, but you want to know a secret? The devil can't make you do anything. I know that wasn't much of a secret. You knew that already, didn't you? The devil doesn't make us do anything. The devil tempts us. The devil entices us. The devil knows our human weaknesses and tries to draw us away with different lusts of the flesh, with pride of life, with the lust of the eyes. And the devil is really good at what he does because he's been doing it for several thousand years. And most of us have only been living on this earth for a few decades. So he's got a lot more experience than we do. But we've got a weapon that he can't defeat. We've got God. And if we'll submit to God and resist the devil, we can run him off. 1 Peter 5, 8-10 says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your brethren in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God can give us strength if we'll resist. You know, one of the things that happened, and we talked about World War II a while ago, one of the things that happened during World War II in those circumstances was the Allies would try to get weapons and different information to those that were in the resistance, those that were fighting. They try to get them some help to strengthen their cause, help them, you know, let them know where a particular troop movement was, let them know where the Germans were so that they could attack more easily and those kind of things. Well, as we're fighting our resistance against Satan and the forces of the world, we need to realize that God gives us resources. He gives us weapons, He gives us information that can help us and strengthen us so that we can fight this battle. And that we're not alone. These same temptations, the same struggles that we struggle with, are being struggled with by others throughout the world. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, Don't give place to the devil. You see, the mistake that we make so many times is that we give the devil an inroad. We give him an opportunity. Sin seldom comes alone. In other words, there's seldom a time in our life where we commit just one sin. But sins come in bunches. When we commit one sin, it usually leads to some other sins. And those sins lead to other sins, and before long we're caught up in a whole web of sins. Hey, look at David. His first sin was lust. Well, some might say it even started before that, when his first sin was just maybe abdicating his responsibility, being irresponsible. He wasn't at war as the kings should have been at the time. Says that it was at the time when kings go to war, but David wasn't at war. He wasn't with his army where he was supposed to be. And so he gave a place to the devil. And so he multiplied his sin then by the lust, and then the lust led to the deceit, and the deception led to the adultery, and the adultery led to more deceit and more deception and more, and all of these things, and finally leading to murder. You see, sin seldom comes all alone. It comes with its companions. And so if we give Satan an inch, as the saying goes, he'll take a mile. If we give him one portion in our heart, in our mind, in our thoughts, one part of our time in the day, he'll soon scarf up as much of the rest as he can. It's been said that all the water in the world can never sink a ship as long as it's kept outside. I reckon that's true. I mean, the whole world was flooded so deeply that the highest mountain was covered, and yet Noah's Ark didn't sink. Why? Because the water was outside. What if Noah had drilled a few holes in the bottom of that ark, though, to let a little water in? Just a little bit, you know, to have something to drink. What do you suppose would have happened? Well, the whole thing would have sunk. The same thing is true with sin. All the temptation, all the sin out there in the world cannot harm the Christian as long as it's kept outside. It's when we let that sin into our lives that it begins to sink us. We've got to resist it. We've got to resist the devil. We've got to stand against the devil. Ephesians 6 and verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Well, what about this resisting the devil? Let's run through these points quickly. Resisting the devil means not being a friend of the world. That's what he said. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. That's what James said there in James 4. John 15, verses 18 and 19, Jesus said the same thing. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Let me tell you something. If everybody out there in the world, all of those worldly people living around you, like everything about you, there's a problem. The world hates Jesus Christ. And I said, well, we live in a Christian society. Well, I'll question that. We can talk about that later. But even of those who call themselves Christians, a lot of them don't believe and think the same things that the Bible teaches on so many issues, but they still call themselves Christian. They just don't believe what Jesus said. So we've got to watch out if we're too chummy with the world. Now that doesn't mean that we don't go out there and try to influence the world. Don't try to go out there and find people who would be interested in learning about God. Certainly we do that. But we don't get down there and wallow in the mud with them. We don't get down there in the sin with them. And they will not like that. John 17, verses 14 through 16 also. Jesus is praying to His Father, and He says, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." God can keep us, protect us from Satan. He will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. The problem is, so many times, Satan doesn't even have to tempt us. We go do it all on our own. James says every man is tempted when he is led away by his own lusts, his own desires, and enticed. See, sometimes we think, well, Satan's tempting. Satan can't be everywhere tempting everyone all at the same time. He's not God. He is not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at one time. And aside from maybe Job and Jesus and a few other rare examples, Satan really doesn't spend his time personally tempting people. You see, when he tempted Adam and Eve, and he tempted Eve personally, But you notice he never tempted Adam. He didn't have to. Eve did it for him. And so we've got to watch out. We can't expect Satan to show up like he did with Eve and like he did with Jesus and just stand there and try to tempt us. No, no, no. When Satan tempts us, it's going to look like our husband or wife or our children or our brothers and sisters or our parents or our friends, because that's who it'll be. Satan thought he could get Jesus that way. Jesus was telling his disciples how he was going to have to go and die. And Peter rebuked him. He said, "Oh, no, Lord, far be it from you for these things to happen to you." What did Jesus say to him? "Get behind me, Satan." Well, that wasn't Satan. That was Peter. That was one of his closest... Yeah. But at that moment, Peter was one of Satan's undercover agents trying to expose Jesus' resistance and trying to defeat him. You see, we've got to beware. The temptation often comes in a guise that makes it desirable. If it wasn't desirable, it wouldn't be a temptation. We're not to love the world, certainly. 1 John 2:15 through 17 also. The world is passing away, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Well, resisting the devil takes humility. Not arrogance, not pride. The Bible tells us, "Take heed if you think you stand, lest you fall." James 4, 6, and 10 tells us, God resists the proud. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He'll lift you up. Don't lift yourself up. See, that was one of Satan's problems. He lifted himself up. He thought he ought to be equal to God. When we lift ourselves up, we'll fall. If we let God lift us up, we'll stand. First Peter 5, 5 through 7, be clothed with humility. And then he repeats what James had said, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Isn't that amazing? James and Peter. And yet, you know, we talked about Peter a little bit in class this morning. We talked about him denying the Lord. We didn't talk about just a couple of hours before that. What was Peter doing? He was standing there saying, "Oh Lord, I'll never deny you." Pride. You think as Peter was writing this down, you think he was remembering how arrogant he had been before he fell, and how he had to humble himself in order for God to pick him back up? We look back to the Old Testament and King Josiah, 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 27, God said to him, "Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard His words against this place and against its inhabitants, and humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord." And because of Josiah's humility, the entire nation of Judah got to survive an extra 25 to 30 years before going into captivity. Because one man humbled himself before God. Now see, it's odd because when we think of resisting, we think of strength and power, and we might think of pride and arrogance in those contexts. Confidence, at least. But no, humility is what makes it possible for us to continue to resist. God will revive those who are humble. Isaiah 57 and verse 15 tells us, "I will revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones." Well, resisting the devil takes submission to God. James 4:7 tells us that. Submit to God. You realize if we're doing what's right, then we won't be doing what's wrong. So if we're submitting to God, if we're being obedient to God, and we talked about that in class this morning as well, if we're close to God, if we're doing what He said to do, then we won't have time to be being disobedient and to be doing what Satan wants us to do. So we need to keep that in mind. We need to submit to God's righteousness, Romans 10, 1 through 3. The problem of being zealous, but zealous without knowledge, and being ignorant of God's righteousness and trying to establish our own, that's one of Satan's great tools. To get people to think they're doing God's will when they're really just doing their own. Doing what they want to do, but calling it God's will. We need to be subject to the law of God, Romans 8, 5 through 7 tells us. The carnal mind is an enemy against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Now that doesn't mean that it's above and beyond and outside of God's judgment. No, it just means that carnal, if we're thinking carnal thoughts, if we're having a carnal, worldly, earthly mindset, we will not be subject to God's law. We won't obey Him like we should. So many things start with attitude. We need to be subject to God, Hebrews 12, 9 and 10 also tells us. Resisting the devil takes drawing near to God. Now the devil's over here and God's over here, and if we're close to one, we're further away from the other. That's just an obvious thing. Even a fairly small child can understand that if there are two things on opposite sides of the world, you can't be close to both of them at the same time. And two things on opposite sides of the room, come away from that. Go over there close to that. We understand that in the physical realm. What about in the spiritual realm? If we draw near to God, then we're drawing further away from Satan. And he'll flee from that. Verse 8 of James 4 tells us that. Psalm 73, verses 27 and 28 also tells that. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. Draw near. Get close to God. We need to draw near to hear. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2 tells us. Draw near to hear. Go to the house of God rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. You know, a lot of people may be going to church. Well, I'm going to church. Well, are you going to church and drawing near to God to hear Him and to listen to Him and to learn from Him? Or are you just going so you'll be seen? Are you just going? Well, lots of different reasons people go. Some people go for business contacts. Some people go to church because my family always went here. It's a tradition. Some people go because it's a special holiday, Easter or Christmas. Some people go to church to see what somebody else is wearing. It's a fashion show. Some people go to church. You can make the list goes on and on of why people go to church. Some people go to church because they're paid to be there. Some people go to church to sing in a choir, and that's all the only reason they're there. They want to show off their voice. You go on down the list of why people go to church. The psalmist says, draw near to God. The writer of Ecclesiastes rather says, go to the house of God and draw near to hear. To learn. We need to draw near in assurance. Now, not pride, not arrogance, but there is a certain level of confidence. Not a confidence in the flesh, not a confidence in ourselves, but a confidence in God. A trust in Him. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22 tells us, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. We need to draw close and be assured that God is there when we draw close to Him. Resisting the devil takes purifying ourselves. We need to purify our hands and hearts, verse 8 tells us of James chapter 4. We need to purify our hands, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, he says. We need to purify flesh and spirit. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We are purified by water and the Word, Ephesians 5:25 through 27 tells us. We need to be purified from every lawless deed, all the lawless deeds. We need to be purified from them. Titus 2:14, He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. You see, that's part of drawing near to God, purifying your deeds, doing good deeds instead of the evil ones that you once did. Of course, resisting the devil and submitting to God brings exaltation. If we try to lift ourselves up, if we try to do it on our own, we will fail ultimately. We'll fail utterly. We will fail continually if we try to do it on our own. But instead, we need to try to trust in God and let Him be our strength. Let Him lift us up. Verse 10 of James 4 tells us that. If we'll humble ourselves before Him, He will lift us up. Matthew 23:12, Jesus said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled or put to shame. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. And in Luke 18:13-14, Jesus condemned the Pharisee and praised the tax collector as the two went up to pray. He said the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he said, this is the one that went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Most of us want to be lifted up. We want to be exalted. But if we go about it the wrong way, if we try to take shortcuts, if we listen to Satan's lies about how that happens, then we won't be exalted. We'll be humiliated and humbled. Have you been resisting the devil? Are you part of God's underground resistance in this world? Or are you a part of the world? Maybe you were part of the resistance, but you've gotten caught up in being with the world so closely that you've quit your resistance activities. You've quit resisting like you should and like you once did. Have you resisted the devil by refusing to be a friend of the world? We've got to refuse the friendship of the world. It can seem so enticing to want to be popular, to want to be like everybody else. But we can't be like everybody else and make it to heaven with God. We have to be pleasing to Him to do that. Have you been resisting the devil by humbling yourself to God? Have you been resisting the devil by submitting to God, being obedient to Him? Have you resisted the devil by drawing near to God and being close to Him? You know, it's a rare situation where someone is busy studying God's Word and praying that they commit sin. That's an unusual situation for that to occur. But when we're not in God's Word and we're not in prayer, it's much more common for us to commit sin. Draw near to God. Have you resisted the devil by purifying yourself? Now, I know when we say purifying yourself, it's only through coming to Jesus and coming to God in His plan that we can be purified. There's nothing that I can do to purify myself. But have I been moldable? Have I allowed Him to get those things out of my life? And have I willingly let go of those things, or have I fought against Him and tried to hold on to the sinful things of this world? Well, see, if you've resisted the devil in those ways, two things will happen. One is the devil will flee from you. And two is God will lift you up. You want the devil to flee? You want God to lift you up? Are you resisting the devil? If you haven't been resisting the devil, maybe you haven't joined the resistance. Maybe you're not a Christian. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become one. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, turn away from them, confess Him as the Christ, the Son of God, and be willing to put Him on in baptism, being buried with Him in the waters to wash your sins away, you can join that resistance movement. He'll add you to His army. He'll put you on His roll. If you're here this morning as a Christian and you haven't been fighting the good fight, you haven't been resisting the devil like you should, maybe you need to renew your energies. Maybe you need the help of the church to do that. If you need to respond at this time, please do so as we stand and sing.